Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumrabip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to the National Digital Radio Service. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional and trusted beautiful country of ours, welcome back. With your daily program, National Talk Black, Yarn Up Strong, you mob. All right, here's some percentages here, high percentages. We're talking about tragic surge in drowning deaths prompts urgent call for action ahead of summer. Australia has recorded the highest number of drowning deaths since records began, prompting urgent warnings from Royal Life Saving Australia and Surf Life Saving Australia. The National Drowning Report 2025, published by Royal Life Saving Australia and Surf Life Saving Australia, reveals 357 drowning deaths in the past year, which was 27% higher than the 10-year average. Not good numbers at all. We're going to catch up a yarn with Lauren Miller, Royal Life Saving Australia, Senior Research and Policy Officer, and we have Lauren online. Lauren, good morning. How are you? Lauren, you there? Good morning.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, Lauren. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good, good. Great to be talking to you, but not with high numbers. 27% higher than the 10-year average. So just paint that picture. What do you mean the 10-year average? Over the 10 years average, 27% higher. Please explain, Lauren.
So this year was the highest drowning numbers that we've seen in the last 20 years, if not in the last 10 years. And if we were to compare the last 10 years, it's 27% higher if we were to average 10 years out. So it's pretty sad numbers.
It's
shocking numbers.
Shocking numbers, yep.
Yeah, and we're just starting to see it, you know, increase, especially among older adults, and it's becoming, you know, very, you know, serious.
And with the 27% higher, break it down. Do we have male, females, children?
So the lowest rates of drowning were in children 5 to 14, which is fantastic, but we definitely love seeing that, you know, that all of our campaigning around child drowning has shown a decrease over the years, especially over the last 20 years.
Okay.
However, it's still, you know, it's still happening within children, so we still have a lot to do. But if we were to compare it to those, you know, as soon as we go over the age of 14, it quadruples in the 15 to 24 year age group. So those that were over the age of 65, they represented 1/3 of the drowning deaths this year, which is pretty high. There's definitely something going on there, especially that we know that the aging population, you know, is the most active compared to previous generations. And, you know, a lifelong love of water activity combined, though, with health conditions, medications, and reduced mobility, we're starting to see, you know, an increase in unexpected falls into water, and that's leading to, you know, drowning itself.
Yes. And we're talking not only ocean, creek, swimming pool, all the above.
So 43% of drowning deaths occurred at coastal locations, so that's 154 drownings occurred at coastal locations.
Okay.
82 of those locations were beaches. However, if we look at inland waterways, they represented 34%, which is, you know, our rivers, our lakes.
Yeah.
However, if we were to look at rivers specifically, there were 99 drowning deaths at rivers.
Whoa.
So they even beat beaches. So 99 drowning deaths at rivers, 82 drowning deaths at beaches. So, you know, we're starting to see a lot of people are going more regionally, particularly national parks. And climate and lifestyle shifts are increasing time around water, especially within the autumn and spring time. And so, yeah, it's it's becoming very serious. We really are trying to tell people, you know, if you're going to go out to natural water bodies such as rivers, such as beaches, just be mindful of the conditions and just don't go alone.
Conditions in regard to water, but also condition to the individual.
Absolutely. Especially with water safety skills. Are they up to date? Yep. Are life-saving skills up to date? How about swimming skills? We've started to see that, you know, children are not meeting the benchmark for swimming lessons. Like, there's a huge swimming skill gap happening in children, particularly though we're starting to see it widen in regional, remote, and migrant communities.
Yes.
These are going to create lifelong vulnerabilities around water.
And schools are doing their bit regarding teaching kids to swim. I mean, they do all have swimming activities, do they not?
Of course. There are definitely swimming lessons that are, you know, between the ages of 0 and they go up to 10, especially within some swimming schools. The problem is are they transferable outside the swimming pool, and are they kept up to date? Because, although we're seeing small numbers in children at the moment, the huge jump from, you know, from being a 10-year-old to a 15-year-old, it's quadrupled in the drowning rate. So what's happening? Why is that occurring? And we're starting to see, just from the data that we're pulling out, you know, that kids and older adults are going more towards natural water bodies such as rivers. They're going, you know, they're becoming more independent. And, you know, and we don't know if their swimming skills are necessarily up to date.
Yes.
If not transferable in from a controlled location to, you know, an unpredictable one.
And in your records, is there any reports regarding concerns of alcohol?
Alcohol is definitely a risk factor, particularly around males. Every year so far, you know, males have been the dominant gender for drowning. Deaths, unfortunately, and some of the time, yes, alcohol is definitely involved. Yeah. It's one of the main risk factors that we campaign against, you know, to make sure that if you are going to choose to drink outside the water. Yeah. Don't go in the water if you had a couple of drinks. You know, it's definitely inhibits your swimming skills for sure. Everyone knows it. So if, in order to stay safe, we definitely make sure that people, you know, be mindful of when you're drinking around water. But yes, it is definitely one of the statistics out there that it definitely is a risk factor for sure.
So we're talking 27% higher than 10-year average, which is very sad, 357 drowning deaths. We are still doing what we need to do regarding promoting and awareness and what have you. It never seems like people are lackadaisy around water.
But at the same time, there's also a lot of, you know, inequalities in the sense of when it comes to accessibility and affordability of certain swimming lessons and locations of where to swim. And we're starting to see that come through when it comes to multicultural communities, regional remote populations, and also those that live in disadvantaged areas. So we really have to start reaching out to these cohorts of populations, you know, to... you know, reach out to them. To how are we going to reach out to them? We need to. They need swimming lessons. We need to start realizing that this isn't, that swimming needs to be something for all. You know, an Australian lifestyle is to swim.
Exactly, but we need to be careful with it. Look, Lauren, thank you very much for sharing. We're yarning here on National Talk Black, goes across the country. So we're having the yarn. It's tragic, but there it is. The numbers are high. We need to bring it down. And we're coming into summer. That's the other thing, isn't it?
Yep, it's summertime is when everyone's going to go around water. So we really want people to just be mindful of the conditions, always supervise children, learn swimming, water safety or life-saving skills, wear a life jacket when boating, rock fishing or paddling, swim at a patrol beach between a red and yellow flag, avoid alcohol, and always check the conditions before you go out.
Lauren, thank you. Thank you very much.
You take care.
Big shout out to your team and keep doing what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye. There it is, Lauren Miller. Her name is Royal Life Saving Australia, Senior Research and Policy Officer, and comes to the yarn with sad news, 27% higher than the 10-year average, We've had 357 drowning deaths in the past year. Very, very sad. Children numbers are low, but there are still children passing. But look, to all humans out there, we need to be safe around water. We're coming into the summer season. Australia is the big island. We got water all around us, but and then we've got our pools and our creeks and our dams and what have you, lakes and rivers. We need to be more careful. And, of course, alcohol. That shouldn't be a factor. Have you seen Jan Upstrong here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
What you know about living off the land, talking oceans. to slow down on that fast food. Cause Lion King skipped denying things. Heard that from a little Zazu. Slipping beauty all up in the castle. Likely truth, that thing gon' fall. And with no hesitation, they gon' blame the nation. So I guess I'm ready for war.
We just survive, we just survive. I don't know how we continue to thrive. We keep on going like we cannot die. We keep on going, we're living a lie. We just survive, we just survive. I don't know how we continue to thrive. We keep on going like we cannot die. Carry the fire so we can survive. City lights in the loud bass. Gotta stand up, fight back.
My survivability now rests on the fact that I have to share that journey of surviving. Share it with those that are still struggling, trying to survive against the enormous odds of the vicious cycle, the merry-go-round of prisoners in and out of prison, the perpetual journey of going from one addiction to another.
We just survive, we just survive. I don't know how we continue to thrive. Keep on going, we're living a lie. We just survive, we just survive. I don't know how we continue to thrive. We keep on going like we cannot die. Carry the fire so we can survive.
Mark Harbrow, you're tuning in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev on the mic.
1-800-422-416.
Men's to roam through creeks we paddle.
Bush Kids drove in here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host of your daily program, National Talk Black. 1 hour program, live hit the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you seen Yan Up Strong? Looking at news headlines, Daily Mail, a treaty with Indigenous Australians could be signed within days. Victoria is set to become the first state to sign a treaty with traditional owners after First Peoples Assembly ratified an in-principle agreement with the Allan government last week. The treaty will enshrine the First Peoples Assembly of Victoria as a permanent statutory body with new accountability powers. It will be able to question ministers, hold public hearings and scrutinise government programs, but will have no power to veto policy or legislation. Legislation could be introduced to Parliament within a week, pending Cabinet approval. If passed without major changes, it could mark the first formal treaty between the Australian state and traditional owners since colonisation, with the ceremony signing and expected later this year. The move would effectively create a state-based version of The Voice, which was rejected in national referendum in 2023. Assembly co-chair Ruben Berg said the new body would provide independent oversight of government policy from a First Peoples perspective. The first statewide treaty will make the First Peoples Assembly of Victoria permanent and expand our responsibilities, including having the power to hold government to their promises, he said. We'll be able to make representations to and work with ministers to ensure they are delivering for First Peoples. We will provide concrete solutions and recommendations to improve outcomes for our communities, helping to make the most of investment in systems and programs directed to First Peoples. It's not just about being able to say there is this is no good. It is saying this is what we recommend should be happening. That is the key step, he told Nine. He said the process could pave the way for other states. We are looking at this as the first statewide treaty, which will set up the processes to enable future conversations to continue happening. That's why it was critical to get the architecture right. Minister for Treaty Gabriel Williams said the principle was simple. When you listen for the voices of those whose policies you direct impact, those policies are better. The treaty process that cost the Victorian government $382 million over the past decade, it was shaped by the broader Uluru Justice Commission inquiry, which called for the reaching reforms, including the treaty. They say beginnings half done. So there it is. Fantastic. Congratulations, Victoria. And every state and territory should take a page out of their book. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation. Maybe you want to elaborate on that, or you got something else to yarn with. You can put that on the table as well here on your daily program, National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. You can text your brother as well, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black.
Darling, is that a raindrop on your face? I could see us growing old. I feel the wind blowing through. Yeah, and it makes me feel so cold. Freeze to death if you should go. Darling, it feels like 100 degrees below. Don't mind the rain, but I don't like snow.
hold me close when the cold wind blows.
This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, that deadly number again, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarning up strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black, with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Recurry. The tropics are calling, and the sound is louder, prouder, and more powerful than ever. We're talking about Dream Aloud Festival. It returns to Gimoy, Cairns, this October as a flagship celebration of Queensland Music Trails. The tropics are bringing a vibrant fusion of First Nations music, culture, and creativity at Murray Martin Parklands. After an unforgettable debut Dream last year, 2024, Aloud is bigger and bolder and bursting with fresh energy. We're going to catch up a yarn with Michaela Harrison, Queensland Music Trails Community and First Nations Engagement Manager. And we have Michaela on the line. Michaela, good morning. How are you?
Good, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Dream Aloud, pumping hard. Fantastic. Second year round after inaugural year last year. This is great to see. So what are we expecting? Saturday, 18th of October.
Yeah, we're coming back even bigger and better. We've got a deadly First Nations lineup: Budjara, Kayit, South Summit, 3%, and locals Dubzern and Omi J. We've got cultural dancers, food trucks. Jarrigan College students will be there as well with an art gallery pop-up selling their amazing artworks from the talented kids there.
Yes.
We've got mob markets doing Artisan Alley, and we've got a lot of workshops as well, art workshops and kids' workshops.
Beautiful, fantastic. So it's like a fruit salad, fantastic. Tell us about QMF, Queensland Music Trails, and the work that they do, because across the state there's activities happening across the state. So paint that picture, please.
Yeah, so QMF's been around for 26 years now, and Queensland Music Trails is a brand new festival circuit which started 3 years ago. We travel to regional and very unique places all around Queensland, putting on a series of different events. We're doing about 25 to 30 festivals every single year, and the tropics is one of our favourites. We've been part of the Yarrabah Music and Cultural Festival for 13 years, and then Dream Aloud started last year as well. So we're really excited to come back to Far North Queensland, tropical Queensland, to keep doing some more deadly events.
Yeah, look, fantastic. And what gates open? What times does it operate on the Saturday 18th?
Yeah, gates will be at 2:30 in the afternoon with all of the live music starting from 3. All of the art workshops and kids' workshops will be from 3 till 6pm. And then we've got a beautiful Welcome to Country by Minjal and Carl Formile at dusk.
All right, fantastic. So it's a date claimer. There it is. Lock it in. If you've got anything on the 18th, cancel it and dream aloud. That's front and centre. And Michaela, thank you for your yarn. All the best to you. Take care and we'll yarn soon.
Thanks, Trevor. See you later.
Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there. Michaela Harrison, her name is Queensland Music Trails. And we're talking about the Dream Aloud Festival. So inaugural festival last year, 2024, at the Munro Martin Parklands. It was so deadly. In actual fact, they had a baker boy. He performed. He was deadly. And bigger and better. And here it is happening again on Saturday, 18th of October. So, yeah, whatever you got on, cancel it and check it out, you mob. And you can Google it on Queensland Music Trails as well and all the other activities happening in the beautiful Sunshine State of Queensland. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Sitting at night by a campfire so bright, listening to stories of old. Me and that old man and his old camper van, driving those dry, dusty roads. You take me to places where I've never been, and seldom a white man has seen. Then we'd sit by a tree in the cool of the shade, then he'd tell me how his land was made. His dream time stories that he shared with me could never be for sale. But there's one thing I know, through my country I go, that old man standing by me. And wherever we'd go, there'd be someone he knows, and they'd sit and they'd talk for a while. And when they're done talking, he'd get up and go walk into the next friendly face that he knew. And he spent all his childhood on the back of a horse, breaking, raking till dusk. And the horse never threw him, and no one could outdo him. The old man hardly ever tasted dust. And his dream time stories that he shared with me could never be for sale. But there's one thing I know, through my country I go, that old man standing by me. Yeah, that old man standing by me.
Thank you. when you're feeling right, when you're crying out for some peace of mind, when you're feeling low.
It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful track there, Freedom, Mau Power, featuring Uncle Archie Roach here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, 1 hour program, live here at the First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. BBM Bummerbrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Big shout out to the NERS team. Thank you. All right, ABC News. Kimberley Aboriginal leaders unite to advocate for a community with one voice. In remote northern and western Australia, 3,000 kilometres north of Perth, a place known as Crocodile Hole once hosted more than 500 Indigenous people gathered for a unified cause to collectively advocate to government. The meeting was more than 30 years ago, but the vision of its attendees is finally one step closer to reality with the creation of the Kimberley Aboriginal Regional Body, known as acronym CARP. The CARP will bring representatives from a number of Kimberley Aboriginal organisations together to speak with one voice to give the region's Indigenous people greater control over government's decisions that impact them. Vision of our elders, Nika Kina and a Bard woman, Sherry Heslington, has been working on a development, the CARP, in her role as Chief Executive of Peak Kimberley Aboriginal Organisation, Anya Limited. The CARP absolutely is embedded within the Crocodile Hole report and the dialogue that happened there, so that piece of legacy will be honoured and upheld, she said. The vision of our elders, leaders of that time will continue on to into the future. A nice shot here of Sherry Heslington and Kyra Edwards say the future of the CARP lies with young Aboriginal leaders. Miss Heslington said the push to develop the body was renewed after a tipping point in 2021 following a coronial inquest into multi-suicides in the Kimberley. As part of the development of the CARP Unlimited and seven other organisations, including the Kimberley Land Council, KLC, and Empowered Young Leaders, EYL, held information sessions across the region to hear what residents were experiencing and how they could best unite to raise their concerns together. KLC Chief Executive Tyrone Garstone said housing, affordability, crime, juvenile justice, youth suicide and health issues were often concerns raised by people throughout the region. There are lots of those issues, and I think some of the struggles are to say, how are we going to coordinate ourselves collectively, he said. Mr. Garson said that without a regional authority residents and previously relied on separate Kimberley organisations such as KLC to represent them on specific issues. He said bringing small and large organisations from the region together to create one voice would enable better advocacy to state and local and Commonwealth governments. Fantastic. Get it together is what I'm picking up there. Fantastic. Good luck. And two deadly mob there, Kimberley, and working. I said your mob take a page out of their book and regarding working that way inclined. Have you saying yarn up strong? We've got about 10 minutes left on the program, National Talk Black. We've got news coming up very soon. Stay tuned for that. But add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416.
My people, Aboriginal people, don't forget what we're fighting for. We Aboriginal people of this land. Custodians, my people, my people, Aboriginal people across the land, don't forget what we're fighting for. They took us away from family, set us up. My people,
Deadly track there. That's Chris Phillips, My People, My People. And my people, it is time for me to say goodbye. Thank you very much for your company. Back in the hostel again tomorrow. And that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. And big shout out to all our First Nation radio station across this beautiful country of ours, the Big Island, Australia, and NIRS as well, NIRS. Thank you very much. But stay tuned, got the news coming up via NIRS with this deadly program ending for today. But thank you. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and we'll yarn soon.
Wait for me by the river so I can take you by the hand. Handy, yeah. And we can walk and we can talk for hours and hours about nothing in particular at all. Wait, wait, wait for me. And we can lay beside the ocean fire now, right, and the hammock on our left, and the waves at our feet, and the stars will be the only lights that we see, before the red and the blue and the yellow that the burning fire bleeds. Listen, 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 I can hear. Follow you anywhere, you any place, anytime. We can walk and we can talk hours and hours about nothing in particular at all.
surrounded by the deep.